start with scripture, and I apologize. I didn't give Brian a list of the scriptures that we're going to work with. But he's fast. He's good. He's super. Let's look at Luke 17:1 to begin tonight. Luke 17:1. This is something that's been on my heart, something we've been dealing with. Well, I shouldn't say, it's not like this is something new. This is something that's been going on since Cain and Abel and onward. Luke 17:1, Jesus is talking to his apostles, to the disciples, and he says, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come." I don't know about you, but you ought to know this about me. I am a firm believer in divine destiny, in God having a purpose for you, for your life, for the work that he has already prepared before you were born for you. And as believers, every one of us, I believe, can receive from God and walk in his highest and and his best. But how many would agree with me? It's not always smooth sailing. Yeah, that's right. It is not always smooth sailing. It's not uncommon to find confused Christians whose faith has all been shipwrecked because they believe they're on the path to their God-given, their God-appointed destiny, but nothing seems to be working out the way that they thought that it would or that it should. Now, it's impossible to know exactly why people fail in their spiritual walk because there are a lot of different variables and we don't have enough time to even cover half of them. But I can give you one very common reason many people fall short of God's best. It's because of the damaging effects of offense. Offense. How you deal with offenses will make a huge difference in your life. It'll make a tremendous difference in your spiritual life, but in every other area of life as well. In Matthew 18:7, Jesus said, "Woe to the world because of offenses." In other words, there's sadness on this whole world because of offenses. "For offenses must come." And he goes on to say, hang on to that scripture. Just leave that up there. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the many blessings that we have been under as part of your body and as part of this church. We thank you, Lord God, that you are continually showing us more of yourself. You're continually raising the level of our faith, raising the level of our understanding. And Lord, I pray that tonight would be no different, that tonight we would get a new piece of faith-building understanding that will last throughout this week and beyond. Lord, let this be a time of impartation. Let it be a time of inspiration. Let it be a time, Lord God, when your Spirit truly speaks what needs to be heard by the people who are here. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was doing some work on this message, and it kind of took a whole different path, which is why it's been kind of a strange week for me. I'm highly caffeinated because I've not been getting much sleep the last two nights because I've been working on this message, and I keep, you know, going back and changing and shuffling things around, and I might shuffle a whole bunch tonight. So just hang in there with me, but this is important stuff. Offenses are very, very dangerous and damaging to you as an individual and to us as the body of Christ. Offenses will come. And how we deal with them oftentimes is not very biblical, not very spiritual, not very mature. And we're going to talk about how to deal with offenses. But in studying this, I came across the word here in Matthew 18:7. Three times the word is, you see offenses there? Three times this word is used. And that word is scandalon. In the Greek, the word is scandalon. Scandalon is a noun. Our words scandal and scandalous come from this Greek root. And at the very root of this word, of scandalon, the word that is at the base of its meaning is this, or yeah, the word is actually two-word meaning. It is stick, or it's trap stick. I almost said stick trap. Trap stick. You're going, what? What? What does that mean? Trap stick. The trap stick was the trigger of a trap that you put the bait on. So if you were setting a snare for a rabbit, you'd put something that would be desirable to the rabbit on a little stick that would be tied to a string or some other device that would, when the rabbit grabbed that bait, it would spring the trap and you got it. The trap stick. That's what this word offense means. Now, I started to think about that. You know, when an animal just touches that trigger to eat the bait, the trap springs, the animal is caught, and bad news. Offense is a trap. That's what I want you to understand tonight. Offense is a trap. Offense is a trap that you can get snared with. Too many people fall headlong into offense. To avoid the trap of offense, first and foremost, we have to recognize that it is a work of the enemy. Offense is a work of the enemy. We need to make a concerted effort to extract ourselves from the devil's snare whenever we fall into it. Now, because I want you to succeed, because I want you to fulfill your destiny, I want you to avoid this entrapment. I want you to avoid the snare that the enemy will put out for you. And let me say this too. You know, I don't want to give the enemy so much credit that we all are worried about him. Oftentimes, we just stumble on into the trap on our own. But I tell you, as soon as we do, the enemy takes full advantage of it. The enemy takes full advantage of it. So even if he didn't trip that trap himself and you just fell into it, believe me, he will take advantage of it and he'll use it to cause destruction within your life and within the church. And because I want you to avoid that, I've devised a little illustration. And in order to illustrate this, I need a couple of volunteers. So, be adults. I'm looking for two people who like to play with dolls. Either you played with them as a kid and you enjoyed them, or you would, you know, still like to play with them now. That's up to you. But I need, who really liked dolls? Okay, Sarah and Petrea, this is great. Come on up. Now, I also need somebody who is strong and brave. One person, strong and brave, adult as well. All right, Mike. Come on up. So, here we have a couple of dolls. Should you get the blonde? Should you get the... all right. So, Mike, this is going to be your permanent spot here for a while. Now, these are two people who have the tendency to be offended. They can fall into offense because... Well, let me ask you this. Is there anybody here who has never been offended? Oh, so these are like the rest of us. So, also, what Mike is here for is we have a trap. We have a trap. Now, I had Sarah buy some gummy bears. Because gummy bears are my favorite candy. And if somebody was going to trap me and use bait, gummy bears might be a good bait to use. So I'm gonna put a little gummy bear on the trap.
Is that a new trap?
Yes.
Maybe.
Never been used. It's for demonstration purposes only. Okay, so there's our little green gummy bear on the trap stick. See, because... that little thing, when you touch it, when you go for the bait, it will spring on you. Mike, do you know how to set one of these?
I hope so.
I knew you would. Be careful. I thought about a mouse trap. I thought, that doesn't quite do it. We need a rat trap. We need a rat trap. And you know what? I've heard Green Bay is having problems with rats.
What?
Oh, yeah. When I went to the first store to buy a rat trap, and I had to, they were empty. They were all out. I had to go to another store to find one. Yeah, rats. Anyway, aren't you glad we aren't recording this tonight? All right. Do you need help?
I think so.
No, you're right. You're right. But you have to be ever so careful. No, not quite. Okay. Before I hurt myself. So the trick is just...
That's it.
That's it.
I'm trying to hook it in. And
there you go. Okay. So your job is every time the trap springs, after I say a few words or not, you just put it back together and stick it back up here. All right. So here is the trap.
Oh.
Now, if you were to say something like, if you were to say, oh, you took the shoes off. So what's your doll's name?
Molly.
Molly. Did you already braid her hair?
I did. I didn't have a rubber band, so I used her strap.
All right, so here's Molly, and what's your doll's name?
Jenna,
okay. So Molly looks at Jenna and says, those are stupid shoes.
I know, they don't match.
Those are really stupid. And she said, I wouldn't get caught dead in those shoes. Say it.
I wouldn't get caught dead in those shoes. They don't even match your outfit.
And Jenna is offended. Jenna takes the bait. Well, you have to get her to take the bait. Put her arm out. Put her arm out.
Use her mouth. No.
Oh, you want her to eat it. Oh, no. My goodness.
This is how I play with dolls.
Jenna.
Oh, Jenna, too bad for you.
Jenna's offended at her offense. Oh, okay. Mike, do you want to rescue Jenna? Oh. No, keep. Yeah. How's Jenna doing?
Her hair's a little poofy, but she's fine.
That's going to leave a mark. Oh. Be careful now. So now, Jenna is upset. She's got to offend you. Molly. Yeah.
Talk about maybe her.
Well, you don't. Well,
head with the tattoo.
You got a tattoo on the back of your head?
I
have
to say something mean to the dog.
Not, well, say something maybe not so mean, but that she might be offended by. Like, my mother had a dress like that once.
Wow. I'm not very good at seeing that kind of thing. Okay, well, my mother had a dress like that once. Well, it's so trendy these days, too. So.
See, she didn't get offended. She just...
She's offended. She's hiding it. She's going to go tell her friends.
Oh, yeah. You know, Jenny just
I can't believe what... Jenna just said, take the bait.
I can't believe what you just said. Wow.
Well, don't get your hand in there.
What? Watch your hand.
That's why I wanted adults here. I didn't want to have any chances.
She may have
you gals
get caught.
Well, I saw it hit her legs. It was ugly. So then, now what happened? Now you get together and you make friends.
Careful, the trap is still there.
Are there any other ways that you get offended?
I heard that you told Jill that I dress funny. I thought we were past that. But you said that I dressed funny, that I had a dress like your mom's. Well, it is like my mom's. But that's not nice. Even if it was like your mom's, you don't have to tell me that.
Maybe my mom is really cool.
No, it's really good we're communicating. Maybe this time.
All right, you can let me have the dolls. Oh. This is going nowhere fast.
Oh, yeah, we're not doing good. There's the shoes.
Don't lose the shoes. No, you're not done yet. Nope. Leave the trap. Right. I just said anytime it might spring, you're...
I'm not playing with dolls.
All right. But... don't get offensive. All right, so... it's usually not long after a person comes to Jesus when they begin to understand that offense needs to be dealt with. Because you can't read the scriptures and listen to what Jesus has to say without understanding that there is a very steady theme of forgiveness that he shares, right? He teaches us that we need to forgive. And offense is often a very hard habit to break. I would reckon that even within this small group, there are those of us who have been Christians for quite some time, and yet we still are holding on to offenses. Nobody raise a hand. That's all right. But there are still people that we're offended at. There are things that have happened in our life. Oh, let me just say this. Politics right now is very offensive. And the people on both sides get offended with each other. And it's grudges and it's ugly and it's name calling and it's not good. It's not good. So I want to deal tonight with some uncomfortable truths concerning the trap of offense. First and foremost, you need to understand, number one, you will be hurt. Okay? It's going to happen. It has happened. It's going to happen again. Jesus said it is impossible in that first verse we looked at in Luke. It's impossible that no offenses should come. It's part of life. So just understand, it happens and it will hurt. But I'm here to tell you, it won't kill you. That will. If you're this size. But the offenses that come your way, no matter where they come from or who they come from or how vicious it might seem to you, and I stress the word seem, you can overcome it. You can get beyond it. It's not going to kill you. You can learn to deal with it. I believe the best way to deal with it is to ignore it. Just ignore it. Some people won't do that, though. You see, second uncomfortable truth about offense. If you're looking for offense, you will find it. You will find it. A lot of people are in the habit of looking for offense. They're always questioning other people's words and their motives. They're trying to find the least little hint of something that can be offensive. And let me, this automatically just brings us back to politics. Say just the slightest little word and everybody's going to pounce on it because they're looking for offense. But that doesn't just happen in politics. That happens in real life. There are people who, maybe for a particular person that they aren't quite trusting of, or maybe people in general, they are always looking for something to see if maybe they're going to be offended. If that describes you, you need to change. You need to change the way that you think. Because if you're looking for offense, you will find it. I'll pick on Sarah, Jenna. Early in our relationship, Sarah would always be asking me, "What does that mean?" I'd say something, had no big deal to it, and she'd go, "What does that mean? What is that? What?" And the reason was she was in a very hurtful and abusive relationship before she and I got together. And in that relationship, there always was offense. And it was meant. And so she had to train herself not to be looking for offense. And so she's gotten, she doesn't even do that anymore. You know, sometimes when it comes to offense, I'm like a little gummy bears. Yeah.
I was thinking about stealing one.
See, I didn't want to say this, but Mike here is really playing the devil. Setting that trap for you. Don't be offended, Mike. Okay. Some people are looking for offenses, but you can just turn the other way. Think a different way. In fact, I'm the kind of a person, I've decided to take people at their word. I just flat out believe what they say. You know, if they said it that way, that's the way they mean it. And I try not to read between the lines. I'm determined to think the best of you. I'm determined to think the best of your intentions. And so oftentimes, you know, people will say to me, "Well, that was kind of rude of them." And I go, "I didn't notice anything. What are you talking about?" You have to get to the point where you don't try to find offense. For me, personally, and this is true, Sarah will tell you, if you want to offend me, you just have to be very, very clear about it. I mean, you just have to come right up and say, "I think you're whatever, blah, 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 blah." And I'll go, "Maybe they had a bad day. They probably didn't mean what I thought they said." I'm that way. I've just decided I'm not going to allow offense to become a thorn in my side. I'm not going to allow it to fester there and change how I think about you or anybody else, because you and I are both made in the image of Jesus. And when I see you, I want to look at Jesus. I don't want to see any little flaws that are there. I do notice them sometimes. But I'm hoping for your best. I'm not trying to trap you. I'm not trying to find something wrong with you. See, I know what a trap offense is. I know how damaging and demoralizing it is. And I'm willing to go out of my way to avoid stepping into that trap. You should too. If you feel like everyone's being mean to you, you're probably oversensitive. You're probably thin-skinned. Because everybody isn't being mean to you. It's probably you. Not that you're being mean to them, but that you're just overacting in that direction. Third thing, I've got 6 of these points. We'll just kind of go through them quickly. Third thing, it is easy to take up somebody else's offense. And in fact, this is the one I'll probably spend most of the time on, because it so often creates havoc in people's lives. There are many believers who are missing out of what God wants for their life because of offense. And amazingly, many times the offense wasn't even done to them personally. They've picked up somebody else's offense. And this happens so much because we have some standard of righteousness that needs to be upheld. And I saw something that I think was not right, and now I'm really upset by that. So let me ask you this again. Are you holding on to an offense? Of course not. Not in this crowd. Yet every time you happen to hear a certain person's name mentioned, you get upset. You get angry on the inside because of something that that person did to you or to somebody that you know. You know, I often think of it this way. If you're walking down the street and you see somebody and all of a sudden you decide, "Ooh, I'd rather turn into this store or whatever to avoid them," there's some offense that you're holding on to. There's something there that needs to be cleaned up, needs to be cleared up. You don't want that in your life. Offense can result from an overt insult, somebody that really was trying to offend you. Oh yeah, there are those kind of people. Remember, offenses will come. And sometimes they were meant. Oftentimes they weren't. Oftentimes it's just a misunderstanding. But sometimes it's flat out meant. It's purposeful. But offenses also come when there's just strife, there's division, turns into backbiting. And you know, the culprit in all of this, I spoke a little bit about this in our last message, it's the tongue. Right? Let's look at a familiar passage in James concerning the power of the tongue in James chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. It says, "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Though they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder whenever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles." Have you ever witnessed somebody's words causing a great fire? Yeah, where everybody starts to get red in the face. Everything starts to get angry. Have you ever seen that fire spread because of words? Yeah, we've all been there. We've all seen it. We've all seen the ugly effects of people who are offended and then spreading it to others. And let me bring you to point number four. How you handle offense reveals your level of spiritual maturity. How you handle offense reveals your level of spiritual maturity. When we're offended, have you noticed how the tendency is to immediately start talking about that offense? Right? You share it with other people. Why? Because you want to gain their support. You want them to sympathize with you because you're hurt. You've been wronged. You want other people to side with you. And you want them also to become offended as well. That's a bit immature. That is not at all the biblical way to handle this. People who were never personally involved are going to become offended because they heard what so-and-so did to you or to their friend. It might not be something that you were offended by personally, but you saw somebody else do something, and let me tell you what they did. Let me just tell you. Jumped right onto that trap they did. Give her back, give her back. She may be in for more. See, you didn't expect that. And people don't. They just think they're being sharing, caring. But they fall right into the trap. You have people who weren't involved in the original situation at all becoming offended. As they listen to that story, then they share the story, and sometimes the story just gets way out of whack anyway. It's not revealed accurately anymore, but even if it were, it's not the thing to do. We don't share offense. When an offense occurs, it spreads and can spread like wildfire. The tongue can set that forest on fire, particularly when a person who's offended continues to repeat it, continues to share it, continues to try and garner support from other people. I mean, just think about how it happens. Let's suppose someone you know gets hurt by another person, and then this friend or loved one confides in you about it, repeating, of course, in great detail, the entire incident from start to finish. We do it all the time. If you're not careful, those words can begin to affect the way that you view that same offender. Especially if the person has been wounded, the person who has been wounded talks about it over and over, day in and day out. They need to get over it, and you need to not listen. We need to be cautious when someone begins talking to us about somebody else. Again, there's a whole lot of damage that has been done, and I'll just say in the kingdom of God, much less society as a whole. Whole lot of damage has been done in the kingdom of God by people sharing things that should have been kept personal. Don't listen to the complaints about other people. Don't listen to people when they tell you how they've been offended. I mean, it sounds noble as far as you lending a sympathetic ear. Oh, I know that must have been terrible. I don't think that should have happened either. But the Bible has something to say about the company that we keep and the effect that it has on us. It says, 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. When you listen to those things, it's going to affect you. It is going to bring out in you that same kind of offense. You'll not look at that other person the same. We need to guard and protect one another from that. You may have a problem with a brother or sister, or somebody in your family, or a coworker. That's something you deal with. You don't spread it around to everybody else and try and taint their view of that same person. How ungodly and unloving is that? Even when you feel justified, and that's, well, of course, we always feel justified, don't we? Because we were wronged. That ought not be. They can't get away with this. Those scoundrels.
Yes.
Don't fall into that trap.
She won't.
That was Molly. Good golly, Miss Molly.
Severed.
But the gummy bear is still there.
The bait is still there.
The bait still looks appealing. Anybody want a piece?
Don't worry, we got plenty of bait.
The Bible has a term for a person who likes to spread offenses to others. The Bible uses the term talebearer. Talebearers. More often than not, a talebearer will portray, of course, themselves in the best possible light. And when they're telling their story, they're going to portray the other person, the offender, in the worst possible light. Why? Of course, to gain your pity, your sympathy, and hoping that you will side with them. Leviticus 19:16 says this, "You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor take a stand against the life of your neighbor." Don't be that way. Maybe it wasn't told to you. Maybe you were just a witness. You saw it happening. I've seen this before. You have a group of people and somebody says something and somebody else is a witness to it and they get all offended even though the person themselves weren't offended. And they start spreading that offense. They took the offense on themselves and they carry it as their own. I had this last week at work. I'll give you the story. It's not all that exciting, so don't get really interested. Anyway, so I'm at work and it's in the morning and before we go out and do our jobs and I'm getting together some parts or whatever that we're going to need for this particular job that we're going to do. And the guy that's going to be working with me, he's working on something else too. And while I'm working on packing things up, one of the guys who is in the warehouse and kind of oversees all of that and puts things in their right place and handles inventory, he said to me, he said, "Bill, by the way, when you're done there, make sure you clean up after yourself." I thought he was joking. So I turned around and said, "No way, I'm not doing that." Well, I didn't know he wasn't joking. And then when he didn't respond in a humorous way, I realized he wasn't joking. So I said to him, you know, I just basically said, "Oh, was there something maybe that I missed, you know, a previous day? If so, you know, I apologize, didn't know." And, you know, and then that went away. And then later, before we actually got out of the garage, he came up to me and said, "You know, Bill, that really wasn't directed at you. It's just that we always find stuff left behind by the technicians, and they just don't clean up after themselves. So it really wasn't just you. It's just kind of for everybody." I said, "Okay." And so we went on. The guy who was working with me as we're driving he brings it up. He wasn't in the conversation. He was just standing off to the side and heard it. And he brings it up, and he's just going over and over again. I said, he didn't really mean it. He's just, you know, maybe he's having a tough week, and, you know, some people do leave a mess. And, you know, and he just went on and on. And then the next day, I'm with that same guy, and he said, yeah, yesterday, that just set me off. And it's like, it was no big deal. I wasn't bothered by it. He didn't mean anything by it. He's just trying to make sure that people understand he wants things cleaned up. But he was still fuming about it from the day before, and it didn't even concern him. He took up somebody else's offense. Ah! Fell right into the trap. Yeah, there you go. Instead of a paperweight, we have a doll weight. Hold it down. We need to guard ourselves against taking up somebody else's offense. No matter who's been wounded, how much we love them, if you become offended, you have just taken the bait. Sometimes people legitimately want to work past their offense, and they come to you because they feel like you are someone they can confide in, somebody that they can share with, and that you're going to help them through the process in a godly way. You know, I have this thing in my heart, and I just can't seem to get over it, and you know, somebody did something, and let me tell you this. Though, again, it's a noble idea, usually you are not the person who should be helping them. Because usually you are too close to that person. And it will become very easy for you to take up that offense as well. Your best bet when you're in that situation, somebody, a good friend, comes to you and says, I really have this problem. First of all, you want to direct them to the person they have the problem with. Right? But if for whatever reason they can't do that, they're unable to, or they just refuse to, then send them to somebody else. Say a pastor or some other wise Christian person who can help them that is not personally involved in their lives. Somebody who can look at the situation realistically and help them deal with it without allowing that anger, that offense to rise up in them as well. See, I know that seems like, well, you mean I can't really talk to that person and try and help them? Well, pray with them. But then send them on to somebody else. Don't let them keep rehashing it with you, because you're not really going to be able to help that offense. Right? They need to work that out with the person who offended them. And if they can't do it that way, they need to have somebody who can mediate the situation come in and take care of it. And again, most of the time, that's not you. Number 5. We need to avoid chronically offended people. Yeah, I'm saying don't fellowship with offended people. People who are always offended. People who are open to offense, they often surround themselves with as many people as possible who will fall in the same trap. They want others to be offended at their offenders. Right? Offended people often run in groups. You ever notice that? They attract one another in friendships because, well, they're drawn to each other because they can harbor grudges together. They can let those negative emotions work within the group. When you get a group of offended people together, they often take their negative emotions and turn them into situations. Oh, that happens among church groups sometimes. They cause disharmony among family. They cause disharmony in marriages. They cause disharmony with your coworkers on the job. Anybody ever been in a job where all of a sudden there's this little crowd of rabble-rousers who are against everything that the company does, and the company stinks, and it just builds. And before long, everybody hates the company. You've encountered these people, probably even in your own family. There's usually at least one in every family, right? They're the ones that are ready to fight at the drop of a hat. They're easy to spot in a crowd because they always come across as hostile and antagonistic. Now, as always, I'm not saying you shouldn't try to help people. And certainly, you should walk in love concerning those individuals. Anybody that's carrying a grudge, they need the love of God to help them overcome that offense as well. But that doesn't mean you have to be a close friend to that kind of person. And, you know, we could expand this out to other people, not just those who are quick to be offended and hold grudges. You need to be careful of all the people that you hang out with. You know, again, not that you just separate yourself from anything in a person's life that's negative, but, you know, there's a difference between who you really hang out with, who you really fellowship with, who you're going to spend quality time with. You know, I have people that I work with that are pretty negative, and I have to hang out with them. Well, you do. You got to work with them. But you know what? I don't invite them over to my house for popcorn and a movie. There's a difference. Don't take them out to lunch after church. All right. If you are listening to other people's offenses all the time, it's hard for you not to be a carrier. I mean, even if you don't take up the offense yourself, sometimes you've heard it so much that it ends up becoming part of your story and you share it with others too. And you just pass it on. We have to guard against that. And I mean, who hasn't been guilty of that at one time or another? I mean, even if, as I'm preaching this, I think of some situations from my past. And I think, yeah, that wasn't right. I shouldn't have done that. I'm talking about times when I was a Christian, when I got offended by something and I tried to spread that around a little bit and let people know how I'd been wronged. It's not uncommon, but we need to guard against it. It's a trap that is set by the enemy. I always say this, you can't spread what you don't know. If you don't hang around with the offended people, you don't listen to what they have to say, keep your defenses up, and your own life won't be drug into the trap. Let's be real. We don't want to spread that wildfire, do we? No. Proverbs 26:20 says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Get the analogy there? Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. If nobody is a talebearer, if nobody is willing to spread this around, it just goes away. It goes out. But as long as there's one, it's going to keep burning. It's going to keep damaging. Number six, my last point. Though you usually feel you must, when you feel offended, you don't have to defend yourself. And see, that's part of the cycle of offense. We get offended. Now we have to make sure that other people know, no, we're really not that way. If, you know, whatever they might have said about you or whatever they might have done and how you were wronged, you don't have to defend yourself. Let me give you a good example. What you do instead of defending yourself is you allow the Lord to be your defense. You allow the Lord to be your defense. Mary of Bethany is a very good example. And there are several of them in the Bible, but I don't have time to go through many of them. If we look at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, here's what it says. Now it happened as they went, Jesus and his disciples, as they went, that he entered a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Now think about this. She's going to the person that Mary is idolizing, rightfully so, and trying to change his opinion about Mary. Martha is trying to change Jesus' opinion about Mary. Basically, she's saying, tell this lazy sister of mine to get to work. Why should I have to do all the work? I'm pretty sure that if you were Mary, you might feel offended by that. He goes on to say, verse 41, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Mary had the opportunity to try and stand up and defend herself. She did nothing. Go on to Mark 14, starting in verse 3. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Oh, I'll tell you what, I'll let you go sit down. I may not set that trap off again. I just felt bad for you having to sit here. Yeah. Catch the body parts. You know, those who aren't watching this, or just might listen to it as a podcast, are going to go, what was going on there? So anyway, here, this woman came with an alabaster flask of very costly oil. We've all heard this story. In John chapter 11, verse 2, it says that Mary was this person, this woman, the sister of Lazarus, the sister of Martha. So it's that Mary, same Mary. So she breaks this flask, she pours it over his head. But of course, there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. They were critical. Now, if you were there, do you think there was an opportunity maybe to be offended by that? Have all these religious people saying you're wasteful, criticizing you. It goes on to show us Jesus defended her. He said, let her alone in verse 6. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may go do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Now, in just these two little instances, as far as we can tell by what's given to us here, Mary simply ignored those who talked bad about her. Right? She kept her full attention on Jesus. Remember I said my best way of dealing with offense is I just ignore it? Because I've tried the whole defend myself, stand up and say, well, that ain't right, and you shouldn't be saying that, and shame on you, and I'm telling all my friends what a creepy person you were. I've done that. But I have learned to let Jesus do the defending. You know, we've been in ministry. You'd be amazed at what people might say about you. Ask Amy. People would come to her and say mean things about us. Right?
Yeah.
And you would, why would they do such a thing? Just not long ago, was it maybe when we were on our little weekend away, just a week or so ago, Sarah brought up something that somebody said that was not very nice. I should have been offended by. I can't even remember, and I couldn't remember what it was. And she said, don't you remember what they said? No, I don't remember that at all. Ignore it. Because you know what? Jesus will defend you. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to overcome the offense by being offensive towards them. Keep your eye on Jesus, because there will be people who will try, even if not purposefully, they may not try purposely to derail your Christian walk, but they'll stumble into the trap, and the devil will use that, and he'll use it against you, try and suck you into that whole ugly affair. Our goal should be to follow the Apostle Paul's admonition. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1, this should be our goal, and particularly in the church. And you know, the reason this has been on my heart is because I've seen this in the church. I've seen hurt. I've seen offense. I've seen people leave. Well, I was thinking about that earlier today. I was thinking, I wonder how many people are in this church because they were offended by their last church. They got offended and they left there and they're not here until they get offended again. And then they'll go there. Don't be that way. It's not good for you. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1, Paul says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know what long-suffering means? It means when offense comes, you just bear it. You can bear the weight of that because you have Jesus. You can overlook the offense because Jesus overlooked all of your offenses. All of them. We need to be bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And when we get all caught up in offense, whether it's some offense that we incurred or some offense that we've picked up from somebody else, we're not keeping in the unity of the Spirit. And there is no peace. You know, things are in turmoil. And now it's on your mind because, oh, somebody over here is upset, and now we gotta, how are we gonna deal with that? And it just wreaks havoc in the body of Christ. It'll wreak havoc in your own household, in your family. Be careful. We should strive to forgive others as Jesus Christ has forgiven us, and we need to determine that we're going to walk in love toward everyone. We don't want to be the ones to start that wildfire. We don't want to be the ones to perpetuate that wildfire. Don't get caught up in that trap. When we walk in love and we keep in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace, our faith is going to be strong. We'll be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Let me read you a couple of more scriptures to end this. Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Well, that's just talking right about offense there. And then 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. And you see, when I mentioned that how you deal with offense is a sign of your spiritual maturity, those who are spiritually mature learn how to overlook offense. Spiritual babes, they cry over every little thing. Every little thing upsets. Every little thing has to be dealt with. Those who have come to know Jesus in a deeper way and understand the grace that's been given to them, they mature. They grow up. They don't have to be coddled. They don't have to be cajoled into staying happy. And you can say things that might be offensive to other people, and they'll just bear with it. And they'll either ignore it, or they'll have grace enough to maintain peace and love you even through it. Man, oh man, I want to see mature Christians. All too often, you know, Sarah and I, we talk about people. Should I mention some names to see if we can start an offense here? No. No, we, like everybody, you know, we're sitting at home, we're having coffee on a Saturday morning, we're talking about church stuff, and we talk about things that may have come up and little problems that occur. And one of the things that is most often our diagnosis for the problems, the little problems that crop up, immaturity. We know mature Christians just, they know how to deal with that. They know how to overcome those things. They don't just fall into every little trap. They recognize the work of the enemy. They recognize when love is what's needed as opposed to anger and bitterness or offense. We need to be mature. We need to grow up. I tell you what, you can take a lot more offense than you've been given. You can. Whatever offense that you've had in the past and you felt really hurt by it, you can take a whole lot more if you'll walk with Jesus in love. If you'll, by faith, apply His grace to those situations. It's just what we do. It's what we're supposed to do. We don't want division. We don't want strife. We don't want people getting upset and leaving because they got offended by something that somebody said. And you know, oftentimes it's the pastor that says something and they get all upset by it. And oftentimes it's not the pastor. It's somebody else. And now I just can't even go to that church with them anymore. Oh, that says a whole lot about your maturity level. Don't let that be us. Amen? Anybody want to throw a doll on the trap?
I was actually going to offer the gummy bear.
If you want, I'll leave these up here. Just have fun, but be careful. Be safe. Any injuries are on you. Let's finish with prayer. Lord, we are sometimes very ignorant of the devices of the devil. You warn us in your word to be aware, to know that he is like a roaring lion looking for whom he may devour, and oftentimes we fall into the trap. Sometimes we just allow our emotions to take over. Lord, we want love to be how we lead, how we walk, how we love others in this body. Help us to know your grace in such a way that we can extend it to others easily. That it's not something we have to work up to, that it's not something we have to fight for in order to be able to do it, but Lord, that it's just easy, that it just is natural to us. Lord, I believe that comes by understanding your great love. I believe that it just becomes easy when we can understand your great love. So by your Spirit, Lord God, I pray that you impart understanding of the tremendous love you have for us. The wonderful grace that never fails that you have given to us. Lord, help us in this regard. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. And go in peace and grace and love and long suffering.